from John's Gospel in chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana, Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and he gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fashion your belt and go to wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would be glorifying God. After this, he said to them, "Follow me." Friends, the word of the Lord. For many of us who experience the Easter season and the journey up to Easter that we call Lent, these words maybe sound just a bit familiar. We hear of the story of Jesus saying to Peter, asking him a question, as Jesus often used that mode to teach. He began by teaching by first asking a question. And the question was this: "Do you love me?" Did you know you can yell? I heard that this week by Dr. Chuck Kelly. Did you know you can yell without raising your voice? We all have seen those yells in text messages, right? How do we yell in text or email? All caps, right? My mama could yell when I was a young child without even raising her voice by saying, "Jody, Keith, Hill, get in here right now." I knew there wasn't a happy ending coming to that story. We can yell without raising our voice. For the ancients, for the writers of the first century world, the way that they yelled were in repetition. When we hear the gospel, repeated. As Steve shared this morning in his presentation in Sunday school, as he heard those words that call before him several times over a couple of days, that same scripture, God was yelling. Or in the words of my brother in Christ, using God's holy two before across Steve's head. And here we hear the yell of the text. Today where God says, the most important gift of the church is this, love. Do you love me, Peter? You see, the reminder that I wanted to consider with you today is this takes us back. You remember Monday, Thursday, Holy Monday, that Thursday before Jesus was arrested, before he was denied and betrayed, he gathered in meal with his friends and he said to them what? Do you remember? He said, love one another. It was the last message he preached and proclaimed to his friends, and it's the first message he shares when he commissions them to minister again. It's a reminder from our Lord, the holy and high calling of love in the name of Jesus. But you know, I can't help but notice, and maybe you caught it as well, that there is another reminder. There's another reminder from Jesus of an exchange that happened with Peter in the scriptures. Also on that holy evening, on that holy Thursday, when Peter said, you remember the words Peter said, Lord, I'll never deny you. And Jesus said, oh, but my son, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. Can't help but believe that the repetition of do you love me was a reminder to Peter that there was a time, Peter, quite frankly, when you didn't love me. Maybe the charcoal fire. Did you hear that in our scripture today? That as they came ashore, there was a charcoal fire there. Maybe it had a striking resemblance in Peter's vision to the very charcoal fire where he stood on the evening of Jesus' arrest and denied him. You remember the story? Peter was warming himself by the fire. A girl said, you are one of those. He said, I don't know the man. The same charcoal fire is here. Peter's reminded of his denial, of his betrayal. See, I think there's an important message, friends, of our faith that Jesus is teaching us in these words of Scripture today. That when we mess up, there are consequences. When we make mistakes, friends, they are not to be ignored. We should be held accountable. And that is what our Lord is doing with Peter in our text today. He's reminding him. Peter, I haven't forgotten what you did. Oh, but thanks be to God. The scripture doesn't end with a reminder. Because it seems to me that just as important for Jesus to remind Peter what he had done wrong, Jesus hadn't forgotten what Peter had done right. See, it happened in this way. I don't think it's coincidental that Jesus met the disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. You know, this is the same sea where Peter received the call into the gospel ministry. In Luke chapter 5, Luke records it this way. He said that Jesus was preaching on the shore and there was a boat there that belonged to Simon Peter. You remember the passage? And Jesus said, Peter, put out a little from the shore and cast out your nets. He said, Lord, we fish all night. We've caught nothing. He said, but because you say do it, Lord, I'm going to do it. And he does. And there were so many fish, they couldn't even haul them in. Doesn't it sound familiar to our passage today? They couldn't even haul them in. But there were so many fish that the nets were beginning to stretch, but they did not break. Peter said this. He said, my Lord and my God, get away, for I am a sinful man. But Jesus' response was, yes, I know you're sinful. I don't want you to forget you're sinful. I'm going to remind you that you are sinful. But more than reminding you of what you do wrong, I want you to never forget what you do right. He calls him that day. He calls him on that Sea of Galilee several years before this exchange. And he said, you will become a fisher of men. Not because you're holy. Not because you're perfect. Not because you won't at some point deny me. But because through my goodness, God's grace is sufficient. You know, Manya shared a story with me once, a beautiful exchange about an older woman and a younger woman that she works with. She said that the older woman just kind of mentors the young one. Kind of loves on her, teaches her about being a mama and a mother. I guess those are the same thing, aren't they? A mom and a mother. I meant a mother and a wife. And every day she says something very motherly. She brings that young girl a newspaper to her desk. She knows the girl's in a hurry. She's at a frantic pace trying to get there. So she brings her newspaper and coffee for her. Presents it to her. But one day, the young girl's father committed a crime. A very embarrassing crime, and it made the news. Not only did it make the news, it made the front page of the Daily Corinthian, the local paper. So what did the older woman do? She always brought a newspaper. Surely she couldn't forget now. The father had done wrong. He had to be accountable. There were consequences. She couldn't dodge the problem. The mistake had been made, but somehow this woman of faith saw beyond what had been done wrong. And she focused more on what had been done right. She didn't bring a newspaper that day. Instead, she brought breakfast. Friends, the power of love is what changes our world for good. It's not the condemnation. Yes, we need the condemnation. As parents, we must hold our children accountable. As school teachers, where would we be without discipline? As coaches of a ball team, wouldn't they run amok without leadership? As bosses, where would we be if we just let our employees set their own agenda with no expectations? But you see, I think when push comes to shove, more times than not, we don't need help on holding people accountable. We get that part right, don't we? We don't need help, usually, or reminders to say to those under our leadership, there's consequences. No, but if you're like me, maybe every once in a while you need to be reminded. with the accountability comes the grace and love of God. Let's not focus only on what they do wrong. Let's remember also what they've done right. You know, Jesus himself said, we all know John 3:16 by heart. But do you remember the passage after 3:16 where Jesus said this, I came not to condemn, but in order that the world, that all who trust in me may be saved by belief. Jesus reminds Peter of his first calling and reinstitutes to him on the shore of the lake a new calling. Did you hear it? In our words today, it was subtle. Steve spoke of how their seminary lasts 1 week. I find it intriguing, and I preached on this text before, that this was the first ordination test in ministry. The very first ordination test. I preached this in ordination sermons. And it was a pretty tough test. There was only one question, though. The tough part was he asked it 3 times. Do you love me? And that was enough. If you love me, Peter, then here's what you should do. You need to first feed my lambs. You know I like that, don't you? I can resonate with feeding the lambs, the vulnerable, the poor, the insecure, those who need someone to look out for, the lambs, the infant, the innocent. You know, I saw the movie recently of the life of Eleanor Roosevelt, titled Eleanor Roosevelt, the First Lady of the World, chronicling her life in work after the presidency of her husband Franklin, when she became ambassador of the United Nations. In the movie, it chronicles where, in one occasion, while she was in London, Eleanor visited the home of a poverty-stricken family, a young girl that was fragile and broken. In this apartment that had no heat, no running water, she looked down upon this child, and as she saw the frown on the child's face, her eyes also fell upon her arm. And she saw there the tattoo. The tattoo of the Holocaust, speaking of the affliction of the child. And in that moment, as she looked at the child's arm, the child reached with that arm and then the other and embraced Roosevelt in a hug. The lambs are among us. The innocent. They need to be loved. They need to be embraced. I get that. We understand that. But Jesus, my friends, I'm troubled to say with you this morning, I'm troubled to say, he doesn't stop with the lambs, because then he goes to Peter and says this, feed my sheep. See, there's a difference. The lambs are the young. The lambs are the innocent. But you know, I don't know about y'all, but I've seen a few sheep in my time. Sometimes they can get all grown up. Sheep can become grumpy. They can become stinky. Did you know that there are even something known as black sheep? Some of us know them by name. And it's these that Jesus says we are called to feed and serve as well. Perhaps the unlovable, those we don't want to serve. You know, as we came home last night from my parents' house, Manya and Luke and I, about 11 o'clock, we were driving, entering our neighborhood, and there on the side of the road, lo and behold, were a couple of sheep. Right there out of place. Where they shouldn't have been. At the wrong time, at the wrong place, and we had a choice to make. What are we going to do? Do we drive on by? Or do we become vulnerable ourselves and stop and check on the sheep? I stopped the car and I got out and I went to the two sheep, and one of them came to me. And I asked the sheep, I said, "Are you having some trouble?" And the sheep spoke back. He said, Yeah, I made a mistake. It's my alternator. My alternator played out of all things." He said, "I knew I had a problem and I shouldn't have went without my jumper cables, but I did, Doc. I made a mistake." And I've been there. And I've done that, maybe you. And you know, I had a choice. I could have got back in the car and I could have said, "Yeah, old buddy, old sheep, old black sheep you are. That's the consequence. Got to be some accountability, right? You made the bed. Now you got to lie in it. I hope and pray you'll learn from it. Good day." But instead, somehow through God's grace, I said, "Can I help you?" And the sheep said to me, "No," he said, "we've called someone and they're on the way." So I turned to leave and he said, "Wait just a minute." And the sheep extended his hand and he said, "My name's John. What's yours?" We introduced and exchanged pleasantries and he said, "I just want you to know before you leave, y'all made our night." It took us 5 minutes. I like that return on investment, don't you? 5 minutes of our time loving a sheep, and it made their entire night. You know, I can't help but believe that on another occasion, had I saw those African American men and women on the side of the road, that I might have just driven by. I can't help but wonder, where are there others that looked out their window and saw those, what some might call, black sheep, where they should be, who just kept going? But when I get it right, in church, when we did it right, what the world looks upon and sees someone out of place reaping their consequences, God sees a sheep hungry, in need, and yearning to be fed with His love. Will you shepherd them with me? Amen. Let's respond now in faith.